Thank you, Brother Curtis.
Good evening.
Turn your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. We began on Sunday morning in the adult Sunday school class, sharing with the adults. In the light of the upcoming crusade, we felt constrained and moved to challenge our hearts further on this whole issue of evangelism and missions. And our theme is the biblical basis for evangelism. And we began by quoting from Paul Esselman, who said that during the last 2,000 years, God has given us many ways to present the gospel. We need to evaluate every means we are now using to see where they fit in terms of the admonishment of Jesus and the scriptures. It is important that the efforts we make during the years ahead are not limited to just repeating historical methods and supplying information on a surface level. We need to prayerfully and creatively challenge one another towards a greater understanding of the goodness of God, the lostness of mankind, and the incomparable provision of Jesus Christ to alter our eternal destiny. And in the process of sharing this, we challenge and remind us that the fact that the phrase that we need to be creative, that we need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are we just repeating historical methods and supplying information on a surface level? We thank God for the various methods that we have used in the past that has come down to us and we are still using and God is still blessing. But we are not to allow ourselves to be limited. We need to think out of the box. How can we creatively share the gospel with men and women, boys and girls? How can we reach teenagers who would not come to a building? How can we reach adults who would not come to this building? And so we need to start to allow the Holy Spirit to invigorate us and to challenge our hearts and our minds in this area. And then the Lord Jesus Christ gave us a goal. And the goal is simply this: make disciples of all nations. He gave us the Great Commission to go. And on Sunday morning, we shared from the first 5 books of the Bible how Jesus gave this Great Commission in various ways. The Lord Jesus Christ was very definite about it. And you and I must see it as so. Someone has said, it's very important that we grasp this. And so our Lord Jesus Christ's last command should be your greatest concern and my greatest concern. And so in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, the passage is referred to as the Great Commission. The Lord Jesus defines the depth of the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He says, make disciples of all nations. He says, the depth is this. We are not here to proclaim the message of the gospel. He says, I want you to make disciples. That's the depth. We should only be concerned about proclaiming. That's the primary. That's the beginning. But Jesus' concern is, I want you to win men and women, boys and girls, and I want you to teach them all things that I have commanded you, that I have taught you. Teach them to observe all things. God wants us to make disciples. And one of the most important things coming out of your crusade, thank God for those who will be saved. But oh, we need to persevere to bring them to full maturity in Jesus Christ. And so Matthew talks about the depth of the Great Commission. Mark talks about the breadth and the quantity of the Great Commission. He says in chapter 16 and verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our sowing should be widespread. We have a God who cares about all. Every. In fact, those words are mentioned 6,000 times in the Word of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Luke gives the surety of the Great Commission. Luke 24, verse 46 and 47, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. For those of us who are involved in evangelism, again, it's an accompanying aspect. Jesus is saying, just as surely as he rose from the dead, so it will be that his gospel will get to the whole earth. And the thing about it is, you and I can have a part in that. We can play, we can be workers together with him. The surety of the Great Commission, it will go forth. The good news will go to the whole world. John shows the Lord Jesus Christ as the model of the Great Commission. He says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He was sent by his Father. And he fulfilled that for which he was sent, to proclaim the gospel, to give his life a ransom for many, that we might have a message to proclaim. He did the Father's will. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. And he went from town to town, proclaiming the news of the kingdom of God. And so he's our model. He was faithful to that which his Father had given him to do. And then in Acts 1 and 8, we have the extent of the Great Commission. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. This is where you are starting, the people near you. In Judea, he says, the people in the local area surrounding you. In Samaria, people that are different from you. The uttermost parts of the earth, those who are in the farthest corners of the globe, Jesus says, ye shall be witnesses after you receive power. Both, he says, both in Jerusalem. In other words, God says, Jesus is saying, at the same time, I want you to reach out to the community, to your near community. Reach out beyond your community as I allow you. Go beyond. That's the challenge. And we shared on Sunday morning. When we come to this passage in the Gospel of John, we want to look at three principles this evening. As we come to the second point, our first point, as we shared under that, those themes, is what is the goal God has given us? To make disciples. And so what are the biblical elements of planning strategy? If the Lord Jesus Christ would sit down with the strategists of the day, what biblical principles would he expound? What biblical principles would he point out from his word that he has given that we can use today and be effective in reaching people with the gospel? Three things from the passage that in John's gospel, beginning at chapter, verse 34, verse 35. This is in the coming to the end of Jesus' encounter with the woman at Samaria. A very familiar passage, no doubt, to most of us. He says in verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. It's a very important verse. We could stay on that all night. But verse 35 to verse 38 is where we want to emphasize tonight. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon you bestow no labor. Other men labor, and ye are entered into their labors. The Lord will bless the reading of his holy and precious word. Amen. What are the biblical elements of planning strategies? The word strategy in its basic meaning means to plan. It means plans and ideas, goals. One of the first things we might be seeing so simple, but sometimes we tend to overlook, that Jesus says that his disciples here, he says to them, first of all, open your eyes. One version put it that way. Another, the King James says, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes, he says. Say not there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. And that's what Jesus was saying, don't be blind to the needs of the world around you. Open up your eyes. Lift them up. Begin to see what is around you. Begin to grasp. And it's impossible. You get the idea when he talks about open your eyes or lift up your eyes. Maybe many people walk around like this. And because they do that, they cannot see what's happening around them, what's going on. Maybe what's not ahead. Jesus says, in the spiritual realm, in my work, he says, I need you to open your eyes. I need you to see. I need you to grasp. Because if your head is not lifted up, you have a limited scope. I want you to see beyond where you are. Lift up your eyes. Open your eyes. And that's the challenge to the church today. Jesus says, open. You remember the blind man in Jericho who was blind and Jesus spat on the ground and he made a spittle. And he put it on his eyes and he says, can you see? He says, no, I see men of trees. And maybe sometimes as Christians, we only see people that way. We don't see them as God sees them. He said, I need you to open your eyes. Open your eyes. The spiritual dimension that God wants to take us as his church through. In order to get there and to appreciate, we need to open our eyes. There's a great need around us. And in talking to some of you, and even hearing your prayer tonight, you can hear it in your heart of the need of sponge wells. And maybe God is beginning to do that. He's beginning to say, open your eyes. In 1974, at the Congress in Evangelism in Switzerland, a brother by the name of Ralph Binter challenged those who were at that conference to go to reach the unreached peoples of the world. And he asked the question, why hadn't someone gone to these groups? Based on this text, he says, there is much for you to do. There is more for you to see. Look from your place. From your ministry, open your eyes. Open your eyes. And we need to ask God to help us. To open our spiritual eyes. But open our eyes to what? The verse goes on. And he says, look on the fields. Look on the fields. Look on the fields. Jesus says, I want you to look at the fields. Notice he did not say, I want you to find a nearby bush or a nearby tree where you could harvest. Jesus paints to us a picture of vast fields ripe for harvest. He did not say field. He said fields. He said, when you open your eyes, I don't want you to have tunnel vision. I don't only want you to see Spanish Wells, but I want you to see the whole island of Eleuthera. I want you to see the Bahamas. I want you to see the world. He says, open your eyes. And he says, look. Look. And for many of us, our view is narrow. Our vision is narrow. God wants us to see. Why? Why does he want us to look? Two things I want to suggest this evening. God wants us to look to help us get the layout of the land. You and I cannot begin to appreciate. We cannot begin to approach and to do what God would have us to do until we understand what is needed. Yes, the gospel is needed, but how can we approach these people in the context in which they're in? You live here, so you understand that. But I'm also thinking not only here, but beyond. To get the lay of the land, we need to understand how can we reach people, how can you reach the young people unless you interact with them and get to know them. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, and I want to quickly turn to it. Moses and the people of God understood this whole idea of getting the lay of the land to get a grasp of what's happening. We are going to go into this land, but we need to know what's going on. We need to know the people who were there, what are they like. In Numbers chapter 13, beginning at verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and the land, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in stronghold. In other words, whether they're out in the, just out in the middle of their fields, or do they have fortified cities. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean. What's the economics of the land? Whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage. Bring the fruit of the land. And the time was the time of first fruit of grapes. Moses understood. He said, we're going to go into this country, but we want to understand what the people is like. We need to understand what the territory is like. We need to understand what's going on in their lives. I think about Ludi, who alluded in his prayer. He talks about the whole idea of being friendly to people. Reaching out to people where they are. Touching them in their context. And many times we preach the gospel, and we need to preach the gospel in its power and its clarity. But we need to contextualize the message to meet people where they are. To show that the gospel is relevant to them, where they are and what they are going through. That Jesus Christ is the answer. We need to be with them. We need to know them. Not become like them. But they need to know. Moses says, and Jesus says, open your eyes. Look at the field. Moses says, go and search out the land. See what's happening in their cities. See what their lifestyle is like. And you'd be surprised. As someone said to me recently, a brother in Freeport who does landscaping and painting of homes, and he said, things are so slow in Freeport, he's resorted to going door to door, and he says, you know, my going door to door and asking people if they need any repair done and any jobs done, he said, I've come to discover that as bad as the people's homes are on the outside, it's even worse on the inside. What they're going through, what they're battling. And if you're going to reach people with the gospel, you need to get the lay of the land. You need to know what's happening in their lives. Yeah, they're sinners. But we need to make this book. It is a relevant book. We need to let them cause, help them to understand that this book is relevant for whatever they're going through. He said, look at the fields. Look at it. Lift up. Open your eyes. Look at it. It helps us to get the lay of the land. But it also helps us to see what God has already done in preparation. Many times as we look at a situation, we say, man, there's no way that we can conquer this. There's no way that we can make an impact. There's no way that we can change this situation. You don't know that until you spy out the land. You might be surprised what God has already done in the lives of people. Someone has already been there and watered or planted a seed. Someone's already watered that seed. God has already prepared the way. And the story that comes to mind is found in the book of Judges chapter 7. This is the story of Gideon. God had whittled his army down to 300, and he was still having doubts as to whether that they can would have been able to defeat 138,000. God said, go over. You're going to hear a story. Someone's going to be telling a dream. And so he goes over chapter 7, verse 9 through 15. And then one of the soldiers, one of the guards was said, I had a dream. And I saw a barley loaf of bread rolled into our camp up to a tent. And the bread destroyed the tent. And the other guard next to him gave the interpretation. Oh, that is Gideon and his army. That is Gideon who God has given the armies into his hand. If he had stayed on the other side where he was, Gideon, he would never have heard the dream and the interpretation of the dream. It helps to get the lay of the land, but we do that because we are made to see what God has already done and what he's doing in the midst of the land. And that's why it's so important. We need to open our eyes. We need to look. Let me ask you, as leaders and people of this local, you're planning a crusade. Do you see God already doing some things in preparation? Have you stopped to look and say, Lord, what are you doing? What are some things that you are doing that we can take advantage of? Who are some people we see you working in their lives? And Lord, how can we approach them? Lord, open our eyes as we might see. Help us to look on the field of Spanish Wales. Help us to get a layout. That in our preparation for this crusade, we may not do things that we don't need to do. And we don't need to do. Because when you do things that you don't need to do, it's a waste of time and energy. And so you need to ask yourself, Lord, as people, especially those who are leaders and who are heading up committees, you say, Lord, open our eyes. Help us to look on the fields. Help us to get a true layout of the land. Let's see what's happening. See what the pulse beat, Lord. Let us see what you've already done that we don't have to do. And so he says, look at the fields. Let us open our eyes. He says, look at the fields. And the third principle is this. Found the passage. Realize that the harvest is ready now. For they are white already to harvest. This is a tough one for us. We have tested some fields. We have talked to some people. And they don't seem to be ripe. But the Lord Jesus said in this passage, they are ready to harvest. If you would just open your eyes, lift up your eyes, if you would just look at the field, you will see that the harvest is ripe, even to the most difficult person or family. Now, I want to remind you the context in which Jesus is saying this. He is saying this in Samaria. He is saying this to his disciples, Jews, who are no dealing with Samaritans. He's saying this that you might think that these Samaritans are no good and that they are unreachable, that they won't convert, they won't, cannot be changed. He's saying, I want you to open your eyes. I want you to see the field. I want you to see that in the midst of this, a couple of verses later, a woman comes back and she brings a crowd of men with her and they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Open your eyes. The harvest, he says. There's something to harvest in every field. In every field, there's something to harvest. There's something to harvest. When Rich and I over, but 2 years ago, we were on Hope Town. Boy, what a difficult place. We preached. As a matter of fact, one morning we came and we found a note on a tent encouraging us to stop making noise. Come to find it was written by the local lay Methodist preacher. It was written on a legal paper that is for justice of the peace. And people would walk by. People won't come in the tent. We did visitation. You know, they sent out flyers. People would promise to come and they won't come. And we got a little discouraged. One night, preaching of the gospel, one gentleman who worked around the lighthouse, he came in the midst of this hard place. There's something to harvest in any field. You got saved. You trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. The harvest is ready. It might be a difficult field, but Jesus says it's ready to harvest. And as you go into this crusade, go into it, as our brother prayed, with a positive mindset that God will and can do something. People's heart will be changed and touched because the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to convert the apostle Paul, the chief of sinners he proclaims himself to be. It changed you. It changed me. Realize that the harvest is ready now, not later, now. There is something to harvest in every field because the harvest is ready now. Another thing we need to realize as well, that others may have already prepared the way. Verse 36 and verse 38 tells us that. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon you bestow no labor, and other men labor, and ye are entered into their labor. One sow, another man reaps. One sow, another water, God gives the increase. I wonder, how many times people like Brother Ludi, Brother Tom, Brother Frank and others have gone into an area and they saw a blessing. They were the reapers, but there were others who have been praying and witnessing for years, but now they enter into their labor. They reap where others have sown. Others have prepared the way. And you might know, and you probably know, you might not know how many mothers are praying for those young people right now who are not saved on Spanish Wells. You, some of you are praying for some of them. Lord willing, Brother Tom, And others are going to come and they're going to proclaim the gospel and they're going to come. They're going to trust Christ. That's why you need to keep praying. That's why you keep sharing the gospel. Keep planting the seed. Keep watering the seed with prayer and witness. Realize that the harvest is ready. Jesus said, it is ready. Let's go into this crusade, go into it with that mindset. The harvest is ready now. Not next year, not 2 years from now. It is ready now. So Jesus says, do not wait. Do not think they're going to be 4 months and then harvest. Don't have that mindset. Be positive. Think now. Have faith about now. Believe God for now, not tomorrow. Now. And that's the challenge to us, to faith, to believe God. That God will be able to save young men, young women. To take them from darkness into His marvelous light. Out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of the Son of His love. May God help you and I to open our eyes to see. We don't have tunnel vision. May God help us to look on the fields and see the possibilities. May God help us to realize that the harvest is ready now. Help us to take advantage of the opportunity that God brings our way. I can tell you the stories of going into people's homes in Freeport. And all of a sudden, they just trust Christ. Just trust Christ. I remember a few years ago, my second trip to Guanaquil in the Abacos, and they had a funeral. And I was assisting Brother Robin Redford of a gentleman who died. And on the front seat, I think, was his nephew. And as I looked at this young man, the thought went through my mind. Honestly, as I stood there, I said, this young man looks so rough. I said, you're probably not listening to Robin. He looks rough. And I was just, nothing could happen to my wonderful astonishment. A year later, Brother Frank went to the island, had a series of meetings in the gospel on his chart. That same young man, who I just saw as being rough looking and hard, trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. You need to see people through the eyes of Jesus. You see, I just saw him as being rough looking and hard. I did not see him as a candidate, as a fruit, a recipient for salvation. Ask God to open your eyes and look on the fields. You understand that the harvest is ready now. Now. And in the light of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming, we only have now. We only have now. And so we need to be positive. We need to be committed. That which is going to happen in a few weeks. You need to be prayerful. You need to invite. You need to witness. Because the harvest is ready now. 628 as we close. Let us a call come ringing over the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. That there are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light and let its radiant beams light the world forevermore. 628. Thank you.
call comes ringing of the restless way, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light and let its radiant beam light the world forevermore.
We pause for prayer, then we sing the last stanza and the service will be over. Father, thank you that we can be workers together with you. Thank you that you use our hands and our feet. You use our mouths to share and proclaim the gospel. Thank you, O Lord, that it's through your eyes that we can see the fields. We can understand that the field is ripe and ready unto harvest. Help us, O Lord, not to be lackadaisical. Help us to see people through your eyes, as you did, Lord Jesus, that when you saw the multitude, you had compassion. You were moved with compassion because they were faint and they were like sheep without a shepherd. So Lord, help us to see and help your people to see, even the young people on this island and the adults, those who are saved, as you saw the Jews. May they see their young people and others the same way. In the midst of their seemingly happiness and carousing, yet, Lord, there is an inner joy and peace that they do not have. That they need the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to have it. So, Lord, open our eyes. Help us to lift our eyes, O Lord. Look on the field. We pray that you will encourage your people, even as you prefer to go to prayer tonight. We pray that you would bring forth fruit as a result of the crusade. We ask it, O Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Stanza 4, for the last, let us not grow weary in the work of love.
Adam, let us not